For items 15 and 16, the proxy position for these items is being displayed on the screen. I now put the motions to the meeting in relation to the... Can we just wind back, please? What have I done? Proxy positions are on the screen. I now put the motion to the meeting in relation to the election of Stephen Mayne. These are items 17 and 18. Mr. Mayne's biographical details and the platform on which he is standing both appear in the notice of meeting. These were supplied by Mr. Mayne. The biographical details have not been verified independently by BHP Billiton, and BHP Billiton does not in any way endorse his platform. The board recommends that shareholders vote against the election of Mr. Mayne, but I now invite Mr. Mayne, if he's present, to address the meeting in relation to his candidacy. Mr. Mayne isn't here. Okay, if we could, he's not in at present. Are there any questions on Mr. Mayne's election? Yes, please.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce, reintroduce, in fact, Roger Moore.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman, I accept that Mr. Mayne doesn't come up to the standard of directors that have currently been elected to the board, but I'd like to make the point that I think in Australia, I think we're running out of candidates for boards. A couple of examples, there's a number of companies at the moment that are in diabolical trouble, either in administration or about to go into administration. Very fine directors on those companies are embroiled in trying to sort out the mess because of the subprime and the disreputable behaviour of bankers in America. America should hang its head in shame for what it's done to the rest of the world with these obligations. So what I think is that the time these poor directors come out of these problems and the time they've got through therapy, they won't be in any condition to be looking at going on future boards. I went to an AGM the other night of Transurban, a very fine company. Two directors, long-serving, indicated that they wanted to retire, but felt obliged to continue because nobody else was available to take over their roles. What I would like to see BHP consider, and possibly the top 50 companies in Australia, maybe this could go around the world, but I'd like to see a couple of, say for example, BHP take on a couple of project directors, a couple of young people with talent, got all the ability, but be in a position to learn from yourself and these other great directors that we have. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if a young director could have listened in on the decision on Rio? What a lot of experience that person would have had. And I think that we've got to look to the future for replacing the current level of directors when they pass on to wherever they pass on to, that we've got good people.
Golf tracks, I hope, Mr. Moore.
Beg your pardon?
Golf tracks, I hope.
Yeah. I can tell you what I've been doing, but you wouldn't like to be involved. I'm a receptionist in a beauty therapy salon for my daughter, so you might end up like that. But with say, Mr. Mayne, I think that I've listened to he make comments over the last 10 years, very good comments, has a great understanding of corporate law, is red hot on remuneration packages, understands those in details, options, he understands those. He's always been polite. I think that he'd be worth a try with the company, maybe not BHP, but somebody else. I think there's great value there. He's got a couple of rough edges. he'd probably call you by your first name. I'd never do that. Maybe that's a generational thing. And the other thing I've noticed is he needs to be muscled up a bit because he gets too easily pushed off stages these days. But apart from that, I think he'd be an excellent candidate for company, but I hope maybe you'll take my points on board.
Thanks, Mr. Moore. I will. Thank you. Mr. Moore, I could solve your problem with the non-executive pool if we could all let one of our executive directors be a member on another board, if they've got that time.
Actually, the thought I had was that we ought to prevail upon the other 50 top-level companies to allow exactly that to happen.
Then you'll be right.
Thank you.
Good. We're in agreement there. That's good.
Chairman, I'd like to reintroduce Steve Shander.
Hi, Mr. Shander, again.
Thank you, Chairman. I noticed that all the other candidates have their pictures published in the notice of meeting, but Mr. Main's picture is not there.
Yeah, no, we invited him to present a picture to us, and he didn't send it in.
You asked him?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
A company photographer that took the others, or?
Oh, no, it would have been an external photographer. The company doesn't extend to a company photographer that I know of.
Otherwise, the only thing I have against Stephen Main is that he opposes you. I think that you're quite valuable to us. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce Howard Pascoe.
Hi, Mr. Pascoe.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to address the AGM. Steve and I caught up with on Tuesday at the RACV Annual General Meeting, and I didn't realise that his wife is on the board of the Royal Automobile Club of Victoria. And also Stephen is standing for the City of Manningham in the municipal elections, with the result being declared after Saturday. So my thought was, how would he have the time if he got elected to the board and then he got elected on to the Manningham City Council? And his wife is obviously a very active board member of the RACV. So I don't think that, with all respect, I can't see how Stephen's got the time to do both jobs.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Yep, thank you.
Chairman, I'd like to reintroduce Mr. Shaw.
Yes, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that Mr. Main may be at another annual general meeting right now standing for election. And that's the trouble when you stand for many positions. But I wonder that the first question I have to ask is that his standing doesn't mean he's running against any other director to be elected. If he is not like in an election for Parliament, you get elected, you knock someone else out. As I understand it, in this case, if he gets elected, all the other board members still get elected. Is that correct?
Yes, we don't have a cap on our board members. Yes.
Look, the thing that, Stephen can speak for himself, but one of the things I think generally that Stephen's got to be given credit for, and though he is a gadfly and I don't always agree with him, he is very strong about arguing for shareholder democracy in Australian companies. And what this is really, what he's really on about, I think, from time to time, is that with the growth of superannuation funds, where overwhelmingly 10, 15, 12 million Australians have got shares through their super fund in companies like BHP, or are directly invested like you have, there is a quantum change in shareholder democracy and shareholder participation. What Stephen has argued for, not always successfully and sometimes, I think, incorrectly, is that there should be more consideration about shareholder interest and about the running of companies. And he puts out his own newsletter now, and sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't. But the thing is, he's one of the first to raise issues about governance, but above all about shareholder participation. And I suspect he's having, in his own direct way and indirect way, that's been a good move, which we could all probably agree with. So I think you'd ask Stephen if other change, his general issue about changes and getting a broader spread of directors means that he wouldn't run. He is running as an example to test the water, and I think if he gets 5% of the vote, you think that's probably pretty good for it. So though Stephen is not here to speak for himself, and I certainly can't speak on his behalf, I think the issues he's raised about corporate share, about governance and about shareholding participation cannot be ignored anymore when so many Australians have their future pensions, their retirement, tied up in public companies such as BHP. and I think in that area he's probably provided a reasonable public a public good, even though we might disagree with some of his style from time to time. So that is my comment, partly in defence, but of the principle of what he's arguing for, not for him personally, though I have to say, Mr Chairman, on this occasion I will vote for his election.
OK, thanks, Chris. Adelfree.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce Mr Tom Williams.
Yes, Mr Williams.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. I'm not advocating the election of Mr Mayne on this occasion, but I would like to ask you and the Board to consider for future years the election of at least somebody with, shall we say, a left-wing or out of, not so much left-wing in terms of political, but a from-the-left-field, right-brained perspective. Because I believe there's a risk with any large organisation, even one as well-run as BHP, of a coalescence point of view that leaves the company likely to be blindsided every now and again. And I think it would be fair to say that until recently, BHP was blindsided by what's happened in the global world affairs. And perhaps consideration of the appointment of an economist like Steve Keen from the University of Western Sydney, who foresaw much of the unravelling of the debt issues, or Professor Nouriel Roubini from New York University, who for more than 2.5 years has laid out these risks, would be a valuable addition to the Board in order to provide that left-field perspective that might not be seen by a group of people who have all come from significant high industry backgrounds and perhaps share a similar point of view.
Okay, thank you. I notice that. Okay. Are there any other questions?